It's been a very busy couple of months for you as the Minister for Aged Care and Senior Australians. We had the Royal Commission hand down a report into COVID-19, particularly around New March House in Sydney and a few other things that went on with it. Last week, there were six recommendations in the report. The government have accepted all six recommendations, but there's obviously a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed in the aged care sector, isn't there?
Well, there is a lot of work to do in aged care, and it's been a pretty busy year for me in this sector, but particularly while COVID's been on, and we've accepted the six recommendations that were brought down. We're actually quite well progressed with four of them. One of them is to report to the Parliament by the 1st of December. We will do that. And there's another one which talks about providing some MBS items to access services into residential aged care. And we've commenced our discussions around those. But the other four we're very well progressed on. In fact, discussion about, for example, infection control officers, we made an announcement back on the 31st of August providing some additional funding to the sector. And one of the things that we said that we wanted them to have nominated infection control officers part of their infection control plan.
So for every aged care facility?
For every aged care facility in the country, and we're now working with the states to do some specific training work to ensure that those skills, if they're not already available, are made available to residential aged care. Most of the highly skilled infection control people reside within the public health system in the states, and so we've already started the process of talking to the states through the National Cabinet with respect to providing those skills, and so we'll amp that up over the next couple of weeks, get that underway so that we can all be assured that those skills exist within residential aged care facilities.
One of the recommendations makes reference to something called the surge workforce. Now, this will be, God forbid, we never have another wave of COVID-19, but what it basically will be is to put plans in action so that things can happen very quickly and that nothing's overlooked and we don't have a reoccurrence of what we've had happen this year.
Well, surge workforce is really important because, as we've seen it in a number of facilities, New South Wales and particularly in Victoria, if there's an infection within the facility, most often it's coming through one of the staff. That means that the likelihood is that there are other staff become infected as well or are close contacts, and because they're close contacts, they have to be furloughed from the site, which reduces the capacity of the facility. Being able to bring that surge workforce in quickly is really important, and that's been one of the things that became quite difficult for us in Victoria, because the number of people who were either COVID positive or furloughed, I think for every COVID positive staff member there was probably four or five at least that were furloughed. And that put a huge strain on the capacity of the entire workforce in Victoria, bearing in mind that there was almost as many healthcare workers in Victoria infected with COVID-19 or furloughed because they were a contact as well. So we had a huge impact on workforce in Victoria across both the aged care and the healthcare systems. And it places enormous stress on the system. So ensuring there is capacity in place is important. Fortunately, we had the capacity to draw on the Defence Force. Some of our fantastic Defence Force nurses came in and provided some assistance. Our AusMat teams also came in and helped. That's health professionals from other states, and also some aged care workers from other states came in and assisted as well. And we did some fast-track training for some workers who came in to provide not necessarily care services, but to take the pressure off other people within residential facilities so that they could focus their attention on providing care. So there's a fair piece of work to do there. We moved very quickly after the initial outbreak that we had in Australia, the initial major one at Dorothy Henderson Lodge, and we put over $100 million on the table to provide for search workforce at that point in time. But it's really important. I mean, anything to do with managing COVID-19, acting with speed is important because it can get away with you so quickly, as we've tragically seen in Victoria.
We have indeed. Now, the Royal Commission into Aged Care, that was going on well before this happened. They handed down an interim report, I think, just before Christmas last year. They've obviously been sidetracked to look at this COVID-19 issue. So when will things get back on track with the Royal Commission into the aged care sector, and how long will it take for that to run its course now?
So the Royal Commission is now back working on the core elements of the reform of aged care. It's now due to report to the government on the 26th of February next year. My objective is to be able to respond in a significant way in the budget. But some of the hearings that they're undertaking, they're giving us a very good idea of the sorts of things that they're thinking about. So we're doing a lot of planning work right now to be in a position to be able to respond to the Royal Commission very quickly so that we can implement the reforms that are required to the aged care system and set it up to be a better system for the future. There are a number of things that we'll do. They've made a number of suggestions to us in their interim report, and we've worked hard on those. And as the Prime Minister has said, and I've said previously, we'll continue to invest in the sector. Budget tomorrow night, my EFO later in the year, and of course, the major piece will be in the budget next year in May.
Well, in the budget tomorrow night, I don't know if you can tell us or not yet, there's been a lot of calls for extra home care packages. There's thousands of Australians that are waiting for home care packages. Is there going to be any relief on that?
Well, the Prime Minister has indicated that he's keen to invest in that area. I can't tell you what's in the budget tomorrow night until the Treasurer has announced it. But we're very cognizant of the issues that need to be addressed, and we've been working very hard on that.
Well, so on the subject of aged care, announced a couple of weeks ago that there's extra funding available to help with sign language services to senior Australians who are hearing impaired. This is a great move, this one.
Look, this is something that I've been working on with Australian Deaf Elders for a period of time to try and find a solution where there are a couple of gaps in the system, and I really appreciate the work that they've been doing to assist with that. But it is a really important announcement that we've made. It's $13 million to assist with sign language services to make them more accessible to senior Australians. One of the issues we've faced through COVID and has been reinforced by COVID is the capacity to be isolated. But if you're deaf and you can't hear, that's one of the impacts of being in that situation. So for a lot of people, access to sign language services is really important. But also in regional Australia and places like we live, the capacity to also provide video remote interpreting too also makes a big difference, so that people can have access to the services and get access to the services that they need.
I think we sort of forget, don't we, that a large percentage of the people in Australia that are hearing impaired are also elderly.
That's correct, and to be honest, a lot of us just pass it off as that's just, you know, granddad or uncle, and have a bit of a chuckle about it. But it is very, very difficult when you can't hear properly. I was talking to a relative last week who's really struggling with their hearing, and in certain circumstances they find it really, really tough to communicate. And of course, being social beings as we are, the capacity to communicate is really, really important. And so these services and the capacity to access these services is really important too.
Yeah, I think I'd be very frustrated not to start throwing things, but this will hopefully prevent a bit of that going on. Finally, Richard, you're also the Minister for Youth and Sport, as we know. You actually, the government are calling for expression of interest for a new chairperson of Sport Australia. Why do we need a new one, first of all?
Well, the current chair, John Wiley, has been in the role for 8 years. He wrote to me recently and indicated that he didn't want to continue in that role. In fact, I'm not sure it's that he didn't want to, but he deemed that his 8 years was the right time for him and for the organisation to change. It's a really important role, actually, chairing Sport Australia. Sport Australia is the organisation that oversees the Institute of Sport, the Australian Institute of Sport. It makes key decisions around the funding of our elite and Olympic and Paralympic and Commonwealth Games athletes. So it does a lot of work around the strategy on devising those sorts of things. It also funds programs like Sporting Schools, which a lot of schools locally would engage with, which supports local schools to partner with sporting organisations to deliver high-quality sports programs in school at no cost to students. So there's a whole range of programs that it's responsible for, but predominantly, well, one of the major things, anyway, is our elite sport, how it's funded, how the funding is directed, and, of course, the operation of the Australian Institute of Sport. So it's a fairly significant role, and it provides the opportunity just for a new person to come in provide a new perspective after the great work that John Wiley's done over the last 8 years.
I guess we are looking for a high-profile retired sports person, perhaps. I don't know. Or it's, I mean, with sports administration these days, it's interchangeable. We don't have to be involved in any particular sport to know much about running another one. I think it was the chairman of the NRL became the chairman of Cricket Australia or vice versa. So there's plenty of great sports administrators around, isn't there?
There are some very, very good sports administrators, and to assist me in appointing the role, I've actually asked a former sports minister and a former Tasmanian MP, actually, Warwick Smith, to chair the panel. And as part of the selection panel is the associate secretary of my department, but also Paralympic wheelchair racer Louis Sauvage, former Matilda's vice captain Moya Dodd, who quite a prominent lawyer in Sydney, and former Olympic and Commonwealth Games swimming champion Sam Riley. So, again, huge involvement of sport, but it demonstrates that this is one of the important roles in the Australian sporting scene. Quite a lot of focus comes on this organisation because, as you can imagine, all of the national sporting organisations are all putting in their best bids to get the best possible levels of funding for their sport as we head towards the next round of Olympics, Paralympics and Commonwealth Games.
We look forward to hearing who the appointment is. Richard, thanks for your time this afternoon. As always, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks very much, Matt.